chapter 3. It's one of my favorite portions of Scripture tonight, and I want to just kind of walk through it with you tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Let me stick my... The reason God gave us ribbons in our Bible is so we can anchor a spot and come back and forth to it. Proverbs chapter number 3. I want to talk to you about your blessed life now. I want to talk to you tonight about how to have the life God intends, but you got to do it God's way. And I appreciate those illustrations. I remember stepping out of my career. I was in IT, and I didn't know it was on the other side of the fence. I just knew I had to step. I had to step. And I know several of you are looking to retire soon, and that's great. Do as the Lord leads you, but there's also the opportunity to serve God full time. There is that opportunity because, let's face it, those of you that have been in the military or government service, and you're really only needing like this much to make up for what you're about to step out of, and you know ministries can provide that. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I, as I mentioned, I like Brother Todd, had a full secular career. I had a lot of ambition. I was climbing the corporate ladder when the Lord saved my soul, and I was right at the brass ring when the Lord called me in the ministry. And I don't know what that meant. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I do know that I wouldn't be happy unless I was in the middle of God's will. And for those of you who are making transitions in your life right now, you need to pray that prayer. Lord, I just want to be in your will. Shut doors that you don't want me to walk through, and open the ones you do want me to walk through. I just want to be in the middle of your will. The other prayer I would pray is, God, be clear, because I'm hard of hearing. I'm not very bright, and I just tell Lord, you know me, Lord, you know me. And I'm a mess. So, Lord, make it clear so that I can make the right choice, because I just want what you want, and I'm willing to walk away from anything you don't want me to walk through. Listen to me. You'll never be happy unless you're in the middle of God's will. I don't care what the pay is. I don't care how much money you have to say no to. Do you understand? You will not be happy. You will not have the blessings of God on your life. You know, we all muse about the good life. We all think about what would it be like to be a billionaire? What if we won the Powerball? Listen, gambling's a sin. But if you win, you better tithe, or I'm going to pray God kill you, all right? I'm just being honest with you. Gambling's a sin. Don't you do it. But if you win, holy cow. I was in Arkansas, and I started a church there in Sherwood, Arkansas, and moved it to North Little Rock over by Maumelle. And I was preaching hard on sin, and somebody said, well, it's not a sin. I said, yeah, gambling's a sin. But anyway, the month after I turned that church over to the next guy, well, a guy in that church won $1 million, but he only tithed off the net. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But we all muse. We all dream. What would it be like if we had a large sum of money? And if you've ever watched the documentaries about what happens to lottery winners, it ruins their life. Because if you don't have the character with what you have now, more will destroy you. Do you understand? Money is a natural limiting factor in your life. If you like to drink alcohol, you can only drink till you run out of money. But if you had unlimited money, you'll drink yourself to death because you do not have the character, the personal integrity, the person skills to manage your life when there are no limits. Now, what's crazy is what Brother Todd brought up tonight is we are like those little gazelles a lot of time. We're afraid of what's on the other side. The problem is when you're stepping over the fence into God territory, there are no limits of what God will do in your life. There are no limits. And I want you to know money comes and goes. I have been flat broke 3 or 4 times in my life, lost houses and savings accounts and IRAs. I mean, when things go bust out in the middle of the country where we used to live, you know, we felt it. Out here, you not so much. You're in kind of a bubble. But out there, everybody's hurting. But what we found is that money comes and goes. But the blessings of God are eternal, and I can't explain God's economy. I can't explain God's accounting. I just know God takes care of us if we do it God's way. Now, it's okay to have a bucket list. It's okay to have dreams. It's all right to say to yourself, when I grow up, I'm going to do this, or when I retire, I'm going to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. And I had ambition when I was in secular work. So when I got into ministry, that ambition didn't go away. I wanted more of what God had. I wanted all that God had promised me. You understand that the promises of God are the direct will of God for your life. If God says, listen to me, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Now, the verses we just read are if-then propositions. If you'll do this, I'll do that. And throughout the Bible, you're going to find that God says that obedience by faith always precedes blessing. That if you'll do what God tells you to do first. Now, that's how we train our children, right? I mean, we try to explain to our kids, but when they're little, sometimes the physics and the realities of life sometimes are hard to explain to a 3 or 4-year-old. All we say is don't play in the street, you know? But you can't explain the physics of it all to a kid and them understand it. You just say, look, don't. Why? Because you'll understand later when you get a little bigger. But you don't want to find out the hard way, okay? Listen, God has so much more for you than you are currently realizing right now. Now, I remember having a bucket list when I was younger. I wanted a Suburban, okay? Well, I've had a Suburban. You know, I wanted a BMW. I've had a BMW. I wanted a motorcycle. I had a motorcycle. I wanted to travel, and I've traveled. I mean, but my bucket list has changed over the years. And the thing is, I could never have imagined this life. I had other dreams. I had other plans. But I'm thankful those dreams died because the vision God's given me is so much greater than what I even had. You know, they use that illustration of how do you keep an elephant from running off? Well, when they're a baby, you stake them to the ground. Because when they can't pull that stake out, they just come to the reality that I can never get beyond that stake. So when they're monstrously big, all you do is got to have a chain on them, on that one ankle, and they won't pull it out. Because it's that idea, I can't ever get beyond this. Are you living with that kind of mentality? That this is all there is. This is the best it's going to get. And God really can't use me. God really can't improve on what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not going to be the way I want it to be. And the path to true success and satisfaction is actually laid out by God. It's laid out the way He thinks it should go. There's nothing wrong with having ambition for the Lord. It really isn't. But there is more to God than what you're currently experiencing. But if you don't take that next step, if you don't get on the other side of that fence and obey, He's not going to bless bad behavior. He's just not. But obedience by faith always brings blessings. Now, I was going to talk about some things, but the truth is, the Lord's just leading me to get into the actual message tonight. Look at verse number 1. Verses 1 through 10, excuse me, have everything you could ever want in life listed for you. Everything you could want for life. I don't know what your dreams are. You ought to have dreams. You ought to think big because the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above of all that which we could ask or think. And I got a big imagination. All right, but God can't. You realize that anything you currently think about God is an understatement. Anything you think God can do, that's an understatement. There's more. So in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2, I think this is going to help some of you folks. Some of you folks, we call you Beltway bandits because you're out there working and slaving away and running up and down the Beltway. And when I'm going to brag on our deacon, Brother Jim. I said, how you doing, Brother Jim? He said, just need another day in my week. Right? Amen? Need another day in my week. Here's how you get another day in your week. Verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto you. You want more hours in your day? You want more days in your life? You want more peace in your heart? To get that, you have to do verse 1. Don't forget his law, but let your heart keep it. Let thine heart keep it. Keep it. The word keep is like a castle. You know, you've got to allow that, the word of God, to get inside, and then you've got to grab onto it like it's treasure. We talked about last week mining the word of God for jewels and silver and gold out of chapter 2. You got to mine it and bring it out and make it yours. You got to grab onto it and read it and let it sink down deep in your heart and then obey it. Some of the things God asks you to do in life does not make sense. Not really, not logically. Now there are things people ask you to do that are trying to take advantage of you. I get that. But God isn't doing that. See, we're all afraid God's going to play with us like a toy and get tired and throw us away. That's why we don't trust him. We don't trust him because we don't know his character. We spend our life chasing dreams that are so small when God's got something bigger. We spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like who won't cry at our funeral. They won't even come to it. I mean, seriously. God is the one who's offering everything. He's the one who signs your paycheck. I don't know if you realize that or not. He's the one who takes care of you. I want more hours in my day. That means I'm to be more effective at what I do every day. That's what more hours in my day means. To be more effective. Do you know that God knows your job better than you do? He is a subject matter expert at your job. He knows more about your job. He's forgot more about your, he didn't forgot nothing. But you understand, he knows more about your job than you ever dreamed of. You want more hours in your day and more days in your life and more peace in your heart? Money can't bring that. But God can. But you first, by faith, have to know what his book says and keep it. You got to live it. You got to live it. Well, I know what the Bible says. Then why are we having this problem? Why are we having this discussion? But I could use more time in my day. I could use God blessing the works of my hands. And so could you. Number 2, favor with God and man. If, now each one of these are ifs. Every odd verse is an if. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. If you won't let mercy and truth forsake thee, if you're somebody who shows mercy and lives by the truth of God's word, you've got them around your neck, you're wearing them, they're you're living them out for everyone to see. That's what they did. They would put that on their around their neck or on the phylacteries of their garment, and they lived it out there where everybody could see, I follow God. So that's the then part. Look at verse 4. So then shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Look, really, what's the difference between, you take all the NFL quarterbacks, what's the difference between them and the second string a lot of times? Really, to get to that level of performance physically, any one of them, take the third string guy, he could run us ragged, right? To get to that level of performance, what makes the difference between them and a champion? Many times it's just desire. But most of the time it's character when no one's looking. They don't cheat on their road work in the dark of the night. They don't cheat on their diet. They don't cheat on their training. They don't cheat on these things. They don't fudge. They don't hang on to that extra few minutes of Netflix or something like that. No, they apply themselves with a discipline that is unshakable. And when it comes to following God's word, it takes discipline to say no to your flesh and say yes to God's word. If you'll not let mercy and truth forsake thee, if you will show mercy for others and revel in the fact that God was merciful to you, and you will not forsake his word, live it out, then you'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. What's the difference between you and the other person that's applying for the job you're applying for right now? Not much. Not much. It's a minuscule difference. What makes the difference? God giving you favor in the eyes of the person who's hiring you. I know I need some new illustrations, but I was talking to a Sergeant Major Sam. It was Sam and Anna Stewart, and he said that when he went to become E9, that there was a pallet load of packets. And you only got, what, 90 seconds? Is that what it is, that whoever's reviewing, you got 90 seconds for them to review your credentials and either put you in the next look pile or put you in the bin to where you don't get promoted. You got like 90 seconds. There's so many to look at. So what is it that would make yours jump out? God going, here, look at that one. Favor. Now let me give an example. When little Eliana, she's the closest thing I got to a grandbaby. I can't wait. I mean, I love that little girl. But when she runs over and goes like this, that feeling that wells up in your heart is called favor. When a baby runs up to you and puts her hands up like this, uppy, uppy, the feeling you feel can only be defined as the word favor. She hasn't earned it. She hasn't done anything, but your heart swells with a feeling where you want to give. And when you and I obey God, his heart swells with favor. Now, I'm not saying God's going to drop a bag of money through your roof. That's not what I'm talking about. But the tangible effect of obeying God, and right here in verse number 3, is not letting mercy and truth forsake thee, but living those things out. The tangible thing is the person doing the hiring goes, wait a minute, I want to look at that resume again. Hold on. Oh, well, yeah. Well, this person seems like a fit. Yeah. Where do you think that idea came from? That came from God for your blessing. Well, God don't talk to lost people. Well, he does when he did with Pharaoh. He did with Balaam's donkey. I suppose he can work with your hiring manager if he can work with Balaam's donkey, right? All you really need is an opportunity. All you really need in life is people as you go through life to go, hey, wait a minute, I'm gonna be a blessing to this person. I think this person's a fit. I think this person, where'd they get that idea from? They got that from God. But God don't reward bad behavior. You want to have a blessed life? Then you got to look at these odd numbered verses as the command of God to you directly. If you will do this, then God will respond to your faith and obedience, or should I say, respond to your obedience by faith. He will respond with the even verse. So don't forget his law. Let your heart keep his commandments, and you're going to have more effectiveness in the job you do each day. You'll live longer, and your life will be flooded with peace. Verse 2, or 3, excuse me. If you will live mercy and truth, then God will give you favor with him as well as people. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and here comes the then, he shall direct thy path. Now these are if-then propositions. You want to know which job to take? You want to know which door to walk through? You want to know which person to marry? You want to know which person to hitch your wagon to when it comes to business or working? What coach I should listen to? What mentor I should listen to? These are questions we all have because you are the sum total of what you read and who you run with. You want to know which ones to hook your wagon to? Verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means God knows which door you're supposed to walk through. You ought to ask him. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, I think you ought to check things out with pros and cons. Of course, you ought to do that. I'm not saying you check your brain at the door. But I am saying the pros and cons are not the only thing to consider when choosing the next step of your life. Okay? Trust in, I mean, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but the devil is the god of this world. Did you know the devil has money? Devil's got lots of money. Did you know that? And we make decisions based on just what we can see, pro versus con. You know, the devil's good at dressing up his decision, the stuff he would rather we do, to make it look like it's a better option than what God has. He's good at that. I've used this illustration before, but I'll use it again. You know, who your kids marry determines what your grandkids are going to be like. Didn't know if you knew that or not. You realize if your parents didn't have kids, you wouldn't have had kids either. Let that sink in for just a second. Okay? Right? So who your kids marry determines what your grandkids are like. And who your kids marry determines where those kids and grandkids are going to spend Christmas and Easter and 4th of July every year. Did you know the majority of the people find their mate in college? Did you know the majority of the decisions on which college to go to is determined by how much money we get in scholarships? So we made the decision of who our grandkids are going to be and where our grandkids are going to live on the difference of $10,000 or $12,000 between this school or that school. That's all that decision was based on. Well, they're going to give you an extra 12 grand if you go to this school. You know, the devil's got 10 grand laying around in his pocket every day. You understand? You can't make decisions based on just pros and cons. You can't make decisions based just on money. You want God to direct you into His perfect will. And where God guides, God provides. So trust in the Lord. God, I know you want what's best for me. I know that you know what's best for me. Lean not unto thine own understanding. God, now here's the pros and cons, but you know, I'm going to throw all that out. Father, I'm really going to lean on you. In all thy ways acknowledge him. I want to be where you are. I want to be where you want me to be, doing the job you want me to do with the people you want me to serve with. Now look at it. Then, look at the then. He shall direct thy path. See, when you surrender the decision to God, I want what you want because I know you know what's best. I know you want what's best. I can't see what's on the other side of that fence, Lord. Thank you for that illustration. I'm going to get mileage out of that, brother. You understand? But I'm gonna let you decide, Lord. Shut the doors you don't want me to walk through. I remember candidating, before I found this church, I was sitting at home licking my wounds as a pastor who couldn't find a church. Nobody wanted me to be their pastor. I was getting rejection after rejection after rejection. And my dear sweet wife, in such comfort and consolation, said, well, dummy, you told God to shut the doors he didn't want you to walk through. Thank you, baby. That's true. Right? I'm hard of hearing, Lord. And I'm not real bright. So slam the doors you don't want me to walk through. Look at the next one. Verse number seven, health and vitality. How many of us couldn't use just a little more health and a little more vitality? If you be not wise in your own eyes. That's what I was like when I was 18 and 19. You couldn't tell me nothing. I knew how things ought to be. I knew how you should do things so it benefits me. Listen, if you just listen to me, I'm so smart. That's how I was. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. That means reverential respect. And depart from evil. Yeah, depart from evil. Stay away from that which is evil, which God calls evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. Do you understand? The choices you make affect your future. The things you put into your body, the things you don't. The places you go, how you take care of yourself, all of these decisions accumulate into the life you will have 20 years from now. You know, I wish I could go back 20 years ago and tell me to get off the Mountain Dew and the Snicker bars. I mean, seriously. Huh? You think, well, that's just crazy. No, the decisions, look, we do what we want to do. You know, when people say, well, you know, in Arkansas, have you ever run across the phrase might could? Might could. Do you know what might could means? No. That's what might could means. Oh, brother, we'd love to have you come to church. Well, we might could. Yeah, we might could. Means no. They're just being gracious to the point of dishonesty. That's really all it is. But we all do it. We know what's right. We know what God wants. And we're like, yeah, might could. And that's what we say when church during church services. We might could do that. Sure, we might could. But none of us have the intention to do it, or we'd have done it already. Well, why don't you lose weight? Because I don't want to bad enough. What? We do what we want to do. Why haven't you finished your doctorate yet, Brother Mix? Because I haven't wanted it bad enough. And yeah, my Wednesday nights is some of my doctorate stuff I'm doing to try to get it done. I'm finally getting it done at 56 years old. But I haven't wanted to bad enough. We do what we want to do. So if we're not wise in our own eyes, well, I've got better things, more important things. Really, is it more important to God or more important to you? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Respect him enough to do what he wants you to do. And depart from evil, because there are things outside the boundaries that God doesn't want you to mess with. Imagine yourself as a piece of technology. The original equipment manufacturer has written the spec guide. And he said there are certain tolerances you're not supposed to operate outside of, or the machine tears up. Our life is like that. God has laid down boundaries. He did not lay down boundaries to be mean. He did not lay down boundaries and specifications in our life because he wants to limit our fun. But because what we're getting into, that area is outside the specifications of the operating system of this unit. And if I get out in there, I'm going to tear it up. You run your car in first gear all the way down 95 to Fredericksburg, you're going to tear it up. Why? Because it was never meant to run at that RPM for that long. You're going to tear it up. That's why you're supposed to shift. Do you understand? And so when it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. I know what I'm doing. That's second only to, hey, watch this, when it comes to foolishness. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health. How many of us have parts, you know, parts in our body that have been removed, and parts of our body now that don't work, and they're the only thing that don't hurt? And wouldn't you like to have some health? And marrow to thy bones, that's a fatness and versus a leanness. See, these are the things you actually want in life. You want more hours in your day, more days in your life, and more peace in your heart. You want favor and good understanding with God and men. This is what we want in life. It's what we desire. Verse 6, we want him to direct our path. We want more health and more vitality. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. Honoring the Lord with thy substance is recognizing that God owns it all. And God has only loaned it to you as a steward for you to manage for his benefit. You got to understand that everything you got was given to you by God, and it belongs to God. And he's just asking you to manage it for his good. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. That's tithing. Well, that's just Old Testament. No, it isn't. Jesus talked about it in the New Testament. I don't understand how God's economy works, but tithing works. Now, I'm not talking about this garbage on the internet where you drop $50 in a plate and God gives you $5,000. That's a lie. That's a bunch of garbage. The prosperity gospel's garbage. It's bondage. Stay away from it. But God said, if you'll honor me as the one who actually gives you everything, then I'll take care of you. See, the world says, chase your dreams and use people and collect things. But God says, love people. Serve me, and I'll meet your needs. We're all of us here tonight are somewhere between the world and the Word of God. And tonight, listen, the world says, go after it all. Go after it all. It's yours. You deserve it. And just, you know, get all you can all you get. Sit on the lid. God says, no, no, if you'll love people and serve me, I'll meet your needs. I'll take care of you. You're somewhere between the world and the Word of God tonight. The pressure is, and see, advertising is built to, is given and made to produce a little dissatisfaction in our heart for what we already own. How many of us have a refrigerator? Okay. How many of you got one of the white ones that still works, but you're a little embarrassed because stainless steel is the new black? Remember when the black ones came out? Everybody had to have a black refrigerator and a black a microwave. But you need to keep up because now stainless steel was the new black. Guess what? You're still behind. Now it's gunmetal gray with windows you can see into your fridge. And your fridge tells your phone, you're out of milk. You need to catch up. But that old white refrigerator still works. But every time you see the LG or the GE commercial, you're like, man, we ought to get us one of those. Right? We all do it because we don't believe. We believe that we have to have these things. So we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people. Listen, don't let them in the kitchen if they come over. Why, baby? Well, you know, it just doesn't. I just don't want them to see the kitchen. Why, baby? Because the truth is you've got a white refrigerator. You haven't even upgraded to black or gunmetal gray. You're behind, right? So don't let them in. Don't let them in. We still have the old tile and the old 1980s looking cabinets. I don't want them to see it. I won't see them, baby. I'm not picking at you. You're just having her. She's reviewing her whatever. I'm just giving you whole kitchen. Praise the Lord. And already my phone's blown up with people online like, stop that. Stop that. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled and with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out new wine. What does that mean? If you'll honor the Lord with your substance, if you'll honor him as the actual person who gave you everything, and you will worship him with your tithes and offerings, then he will bless the works of your hands. It says barns. So if you don't work for a living, trust me, there's no avenue for God to bless you. Barns be filled and thy presses, not the neighbors, so the neighbors can take care of you so you don't have to work. It's so that the works of your hands will be sufficient that to not only be a blessing to you, but a blessing to those around you. The Bible says that Paul told Timothy to tell the rich to be mindful. Why? Because they are blessed with finances so they can be an encouragement to other people. You want your blessed life now? Then obedience has to precede blessing. Well, I don't understand how that works. You don't have to understand. The understanding comes later. There's the do or not do. And God's not going to bless the not. When he makes a command, you do it. So it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I got to tell you, I remember writing my first tithe check. I made $350 a week. 10% of my gross. Not my net, my gross. Before SSI and IRS and all the other three-digit companies or places got their fingers into it, this is what I made. And I wrote a check for $70. It was the first Sunday in January of 1992. And I remember Ms. Mix had been wanting to tithe for years. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do it. That's 10%. Do you understand? I mean, at that time, it was 4 hours worth of work. Right? I mean, that's 10% of your income, right? It's 4 hours of a 40-hour work week, if that's all you work, right? But I'm sure you all work 10 or 20 hours a day. And truth is, that's one-tenth. I remember writing that $70 check. Well, she wrote it. I didn't have the guts. She wrote the $70 check. And by faith, she handed it to me like, all right, it's your turn. Give it. And I held on to it, and I'm like, and the very next week I got a flat tire. And I looked up at God, I really did. I went outside, the truck tire was flat, and I went. You know, like the football players, they'll get that interception, they'll run down the line, they'll get to the goal line, they'll spike ball and go like this, and they'll tip God. You know, they'll be like, it was the Lord. How come when they fumble, they don't go? Hmm? That's what I did. I walked outside. We had a Mazda B2000 pickup truck, and it was flat. Man, it was flat. And I walked out, and I'm like, what is up with this? I thought if I tithe, you're going to take care of me. You know, life's not without its flat tires. But I can't explain how we've made it all these years, other than God has blessed my 90% that he allows me to keep and done more with my 90% than I could have done with the 10 or with 100%. Verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. If you'll allow God to correct you, if you will let God speak into your life, none of us have everything bolted down like we ought to. None of us have everything going in the direction we're supposed to have it going in. And if we don't allow God to speak into our life, we're going to miss the blessing. Look what it says, for whom the Lord loves, Lord loveth, he correcteth. God's got a better plan. I'm not a pilot, but Brother Jim is, Brother our deacon. And Brother Jim said, when you fly a plane, you don't fly from point A to point B. And I'm assuming that's how it is with the Navy, with these ships. You don't just float point A to point B. You're constantly correcting to true course. What do you guys call that? Constantly correcting to true? Yeah, constantly correcting to true. And you and I are blown by the winds of this life and the winds of this world. And you and I need to allow God to correct our course to true on a daily basis. But if we won't, if we'll bow up like a bullfrog and say, no, bless God, I know what I'm doing. The most foolish thing you and I can say to God is, no, I got this. Oh, because you know what God does at that point, boys and girls? He goes, okay, help yourself. Go on. Get you some. That's what he does. He don't got to hurt you. He just has to step back and go on, do it your way. That's how I taught our boys. I remember when Josh kept trying to reach out to the stove. He's a little boy about like Eliana's age. And I'm like, no, baby, it's hot. And he kept reaching out to the stove. And finally I went, no, baby, it's going to hurt. It's hot, baby, no. And he kept going. And every time I turned my back, little rascal's reaching for, I let him touch the stove. Well, you're a horrible parent. You know what? He hadn't burned himself since. He's 28 years old. Sometimes God just goes, here you go, help yourself. Go on, get after it. Get you some. That's what God says. Everything in life is at your disposal. Because God knows what's best. God wants what's best. But you got to do it his way. Or you get what you get. And there's nothing any of us can do about it to fix it other than you repenting and coming back to God and going, I'm sorry, Lord. But everything God could offer, everything in his way, he's got the wealth in every mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And whatever your need is, you need to have him sell a few cows and help you out. I get that. But everything that God has is at your disposal. But you got to do it God's way. These are if-thens. If you'll not forget his law and keep his commandments, then you're going to have a more effectiveness in your day and more day. You're going to live longer and have peace. If you will not let mercy and truth forsake thee, then you're going to have favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If you'll trust in God with all your heart and stop trying to work your schemes, then he'll direct your path. If you'll not be wise in your own conceits, if you'll depart from evil and stay within the boundaries, you'll have health and health to your navel and marrow to your bones. If you'll honor God as the source of your substance and worship him with your tithes and offerings, then he's going to bless what you do to be enough to take care of you and the people around you. And if you'll not bow up against his correction, if you'll not do that, then you understand he will delight in you. He will find you as a specific delight and a joy. Sometimes we don't think of God that way, that our life could actually bring joy to him. And the truth is, there's a reason why God don't give me $1 million, because he can't trust me with it. There's a reason why God hasn't just dumped wealth on you, because he can't trust you with it. There's a reason why some people have it and some don't. And if we don't exercise the character, the spiritual integrity that God has called us to do, you cannot expect God to just dump, you know, to reward bad behavior. But if we do it God's way, then he is honor-bound by his own holiness to give us what he's promised. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but he's holy. And if he doesn't come through on his promise when you've obeyed, it strikes right at his heart. He won't allow it. He will not be a debtor to any man or woman. You want your blessed life now? Then God is offering it to you now. What kind of Christian do you want to be in 10 years? What do you want your life to look like in 10 years? Then it's got to start now. It's not just going to happen in one big sweeping motion. You don't have an anonymous billionaire uncle you didn't know about that's going to die and leave you an inheritance. Okay? The majority of us, all of us sitting in here tonight, will be what we decide to do from this day forward for the next 10 years. What we read, who we run with, and what we decide to do. That's who we'll become. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, I'm thankful for the blessings that you give us. I'm thankful for the promises you made us. I'm thankful, Father, that tonight we can call upon your name, read your word, and obey it, and expect you to follow through. Father, you've given us desires and dreams, but tonight, God, we submit ourselves to you that your ways are better than ours. I pray tonight, God, you would bless us, that you would show us the correct way, that, God, you would direct us into the next very step. We recognize, God, we can't see what's around the corner, but we do know what the next step is. So, Father, just give us the courage to take that next step, and then the next step, and then the next step as it presents itself. And, Father, in the process of our obedience, we know you're going to follow through on your promises. We're thankful that you're faithful. We are thankful, God, tonight that you are always faithful. And Father, tonight our desire is to be as faithful to you as you are to us. And Father, we recognize that what's in store that you have for us is greater than we could have imagined. And tonight we take the first step, Father, into realizing it by saying, yes, Lord, we'll do as you lead. Speak to every heart and soul tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, if you died tonight and you're not sure heaven's your home, I want to encourage you to come forward. Let me take the Bible and show you how to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Without a doubt, know the truth of the gospel tonight. Won't you sing, Mrs. Mix?
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. How I need you. Where sin runs deep,
all you need is the next step. That's all.
Your grace is
each step
more,
is a step of obedience and a step of
where
faith.
Grace is
each
found,
step is relying upon
is
God and his
you
word.
Are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, is Christ in me.
Won't you sing that song with her?
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Father, we need you. Every step of the way, every step, every day. And Father, today we ask that you would continue to guide us. We know you're going to provide as we submit ourselves to you, as we trust you. Father, there are needs that are represented in this room tonight. I pray, God, you'd meet them. And Father, that you would show favor as only you can. And we look forward to hearing the praise report of how you've met the needs. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may look this way.